Just months ago, the Korean Peninsula seemed poised on the brink of nuclear war. But today, there are hopes for peace as the two Korean leaders meet for the first top-level summit outside Pyongyang. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in will hold their landmark talks on the border on the southern side of the demilitarized zone. This means Kim Jong-un will cross the border into South Korea. That will be the first for a North Korean leader since the Korean War. The high-stake talks are expected to focus on the North's nuclear program, but the South Korean slogan for these talks is Peace, a New Start. Chung Min Lee is South Korea's former ambassador for national security affairs and is now a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington. He's in Seoul today, though, for this historic summit. Chung Min Lee, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Well, thank you, Fran, and let me say hello to all of our great Australian listeners.
There is a huge amount of interest, obviously, in this summit and the upcoming summit, too, with the US president. This is really an historic moment, isn't it, for the Korean Peninsula and the world? This third ever summit between the two countries in 60 years, the stakes are so high because technically these countries are still at war. Are these peace talks?
Yes, they are. They're first very important steps towards hopefully denuclearizing North Korea, ending the Korean War armistice, that was back in 1953, and improving inter-Korean ties. But expectations are very high in South Korea, although over the longer term, we really have to, as Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify.
Trust but verify, yes, I'll come to that in a minute. In your view, just off the start here, what would a successful summit look like?
Well, there are three major agendas, Fran. One is, what are the specific steps that North Korea can take towards denuclearization? The Americans and the Koreans and the Japanese have called for a CVID, or the complete, verifiable, irreversible, and dismantling of North Korea's nuclear program. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Americans are very concerned about their long-range ICBMs that could be tipped with nuclear warheads. Second issue, of course, is whether we will have a peace regime or a formal peace treaty by the signatories concerned, but that includes China and the U.S. And the third is, of course, what type of steps will we have to re-engage the two Koreas economically, socially, and politically. But I think in today's first summit, the leaders will have two separate sessions in the morning and the afternoon. There will be some type of an announcement, and I think Kim Jong-un will surprise the world by saying he may open up the North Korean economy to outside help, but he will leave the nuclear issue to talk with Donald Trump.
Oh, I see. Well, a lot of commentary has been around this this summit, like the opening move in chess, you know, how you take the first
That's
move,
right.
Describes the next move. These countries haven't played together for a few decades now. So you're suggesting that's North Korea's opening move, which would completely change the tone and the agenda, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, Fran. And so this is why we have to be on our guard. Kim Jong-un has been in power for 7 years since his father died in 2011. He killed his uncle. He killed his half-brother. He has purged over 200 top generals and officials in the North Korean government. And yet he is posturing himself as the Deng Xiaoping of North Korea, as a new, fresh, young leader. And that is very good optics for TV, obviously. But as I said, the key issue lies in the substance. Will Kim Jong-un completely give up his nuclear weapons? That, in my personal opinion, is impossible. But what he will try to do is to prolong the international, I guess, atmosphere so that the sanctions will be mitigated. In other words, Kim Jong-un needs desperately to stop international sanctions because it really is biting into his money and his ability to control the regime.
But what's your view? Would the South Korean president, President Moon, play ball, would agree to lift sanctions again and to give some kind of economic relief or support to North Korea if Kim Jong-un takes the denuclearization issue off the table altogether for these talks?
You know, Fran, what he will try to do is everything that you've just mentioned. In other words, this is something that is impossible for outsiders to understand, but President Moon has to satisfy Donald Trump's concerns of ICBM and nuclear warhead. Mm. He's got to also meet the Japanese concerns, the Chinese concerns, but also meet his own domestic constituents' concerns. So he wants to portray himself as a realistic peacemaker, but he has to bring in something that's very, very tangible. And so I think President Moon wants to lower expectations from his personal side, but he will want to project himself as the first South Korean president who made very, very concrete progress on inter-Korean ties, including a roadmap for denuclearization.
But how supportive would any acknowledgement or concession from the South on warmer ties, closer economic ties in exchange for sanction relief be there in South Korea? Because in 2007, North Korea pledged to relinquish its nuclear program in exchange for sanctions relief and fueled. It later pulled out of that agreement, expelled the inspectors. Its nuclear program is much more advanced, and it got the benefit of that sanction relief back then. So once bitten, twice shy, surely, for South Korean
citizens.
You're
absolutely right. You know, Fran, we have to also recall that in the first Korean summit in 2000, between then-President Kim Dae-jung and Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's late father, the South Korean government, it turned out, paid $500 million for the summit.
Mm.
So we know that, you know, lots of things have gone under without public notice. And so what we have to really understand going into the third summit is, unless and until there is constant verification, both on nuclear programs, their ballistic missiles, special operations forces, or whatever, there will not be any substantive progress. And Donald Trump, given all that he faces domestically, including the Iranian issue, will meet with Kim Jong-un under only one circumstance, which is there has to be a North Korean promise to really denuclearize their weapons. Otherwise, Donald Trump is not going to meet with Kim Jong-un.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. Our guest is Chung Min Lee, South Korea's former ambassador for national security affairs. But to try and give us some insight into Kim Jong-un's thinking, it seems unlikely to me that the man who just last year was, you know, claiming to have a nuclear button on his desk is going to easily give up his nuclear capacity or agree to constant verification unless, you know, the U.S. agreed to something equally substantial like the withdrawal of security forces from the peninsula, which is unlikely too, isn't it?
That's right. And so this is going to be a tit-for-tat or action-for-action. And so what North Korea will say is we will freeze our nuclear weapons program, freeze our missile program, and dismantle some test sites and maybe even some missile sites. And in return, we want the Americans and the South Koreans to reduce the number and intensity of military exercises.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to consider withdrawing some type of U.S. forces from South Korea. And the Chinese, of course, will want that too. And they will also want to minimize U.S., Japanese, South Korean security and defense cooperation. And so all those things will be hammered out, not in this particular summit, but over the next 2 or 3 months. But if the South Koreans agree to any U.S. withdrawal, that's the end of South Korean security. And the Americans have already said any U.S. forces Korean withdrawal agenda is not on the agenda at all. So this is something that Mr. Trump will have to figure out over the next month and two.
Okay, and I'll come to that meeting in a moment, that upcoming summit with Donald Trump. But just also,
yes,
you mentioned at the start there that Kim Jong-un is likely, his opening move is to say, okay, I'm not going to talk about denuclearization today, but I will talk about closer economic ties. What is it that North Korea wants from South Korea in the economics, okay, in an economic sense?
Okay, they want three things. Number one, as you know, Fran, North Korea is dependent very highly on the Chinese. 90% of North Korean oil and food comes through China. And so despite the fact that China is North Korea's only ally, the North Koreans heavily resent their dependence on the Chinese. So they want the South Koreans to pull up, you know, for example, the slack. And they would want to, number one, reopen the Kaesong Industrial Complex. They want more South Korean conglomerates to invest directly into North Korea to restart humanitarian aid programs and to make sure that there will be, quote-unquote, people-to-people exchange, which is basically just unilateral from South Korea to North Korea. So it gives the impression on the world that North Korea is becoming, quote-unquote, a more normalized state,
right,
which will hopefully then stave off the sanctions regime. That's what Kim Jong-un wants from Moon Jae-in.
So he wants growth, which can only come from outside investment and which really only come from the South. What about reunification? Is that a bridge too far at the moment?
Well, this is what many South Koreans are thinking about. But, you know, you've had two totally separate systems for the last 70 years. And you will not have a unified Korea overnight. This will take many years, if not decades. even after the signing of a formal peace treaty and even after the two Koreas are unified at some point down the road. So unification is a longer-term aspiration, but nobody wants this or realize that this will happen overnight.
And just finally, and perhaps we can get you back again on the program, it's been so good to have your insight on this, but closer to the Donald Trump summit, just a few hours ago, the U.S. president cast some doubt over that meeting. He told Fox News, quote, "It could be that I walk out quickly. It could be that maybe the meeting doesn't even take place." Does that concern you?
Yes. You know, Donald Trump, he basically thinks that if he can put his opponents on their toes, that will be an advantage towards Donald Trump's negotiation style. And, you know, partially that is true. But I think Kim Jong-un realizes what Donald Trump is made of, and he knows exactly what buttons to push to either assuage or to basically, you know, make Donald Trump very, very frenzied. So I think Kim Jong-un is going to be fully prepared for meeting with Donald Trump, and he will not try to give up the whole house, because he can't, because otherwise his regime will collapse.
Okay.
And so Donald Trump is sending mixed signals, but I think that's not going to have that much of an impact.
Chung Min Lee, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Chung Min Lee, South Korea's former ambassador for national security affairs and now senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, D.C.